Wonder what you're like at keeping appointments. On Friday, I had to visit the doctor's surgery, the local clinic there in Calne, and I have to do that every 3 months in order to make sure that my blood pressure is at its right level, and he also looks at other things and makes sure that I'll probably live for the next 3 months, as far as he can tell. And, well, that's one of my visits. But while I was sitting waiting there in the waiting room to be for my the doctor's name to flash up, and then I go and hang my little ticket on the hook, and in I go. And while I was waiting there, I noticed that on the wall there was a big notice board, and on it it says that so many people, and I think it was something like 109 people had not kept their appointment with the doctor or with the nurses for the past month. And it went on to say that that was so many hours of the doctor's time, of the nurse's time, wasted, and that others had not been able to come because the diary was full, and they had to wait to another day. And asking people to, well, yes, ring in if they couldn't come, but not to just not turn up. Reminding people that when they make an appointment, they must keep that appointment. And you know, our life is full of appointments, isn't it? As we look back over our lives, right to our earliest days, we keep appointments. When we're small children, we keep appointments. Possibly our parents have to keep it for us and take us here or there according to our needs at the time, or according to where we have to be. But as we grow up, through school, through college, through going out to work, as we raise families, our life is saturated with appointments. Not just one appointment a week, but usually several appointments each day of the week. We have appointments. We keep diaries in order to remind us where we've got to be at such and such a time, what we've got to do at such and such a time. Today, we've kept appointments. This morning at 10:30, we had an appointment here to meet with our God and to bring him our worship. Tonight, here at 6:30, we had another appointment with our God to meet with him as a company of people in order to bring our worship to our God. Yes, appointments are commonplace. I want us tonight to look at these two men that were mentioned in our passage there in Luke chapter 18. The first man, well, we're not given his name. We're told that he was a blind man, and as a blind man, he was reduced to begging for his daily bread. But if we refer to the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, we read that it was indeed Bartimaeus, a well-known character to those who know God's word. We read in Mark 10, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. We meet with Zacchaeus, a rich tax collector, a chief tax collector. And we're going to look at those two men tonight, just briefly, but I pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts as we consider these two men. For I want us to see, firstly, that God made appointments to meet these two men for a very special reason. The first reason being this, that they were both chosen men. These appointments that God had with them were made before the foundation of the world. Bartimaeus didn't know it. Zacchaeus didn't know it. But God had chosen them, and he wanted to meet with them, and he wanted to save them way back in eternity. I believe Jeff mentioned this to you this morning, that Paul tells us very clearly in his letter to the Ephesians in that first chapter and in verse 4, speaking to those Ephesian Christians. Paul says to them, "For he," that is Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, "chose us in Christ before the creation of the world." God had chosen Bartimaeus. God had chosen Zacchaeus. And now the moment came when God would meet with them and save them from their sins. The appointment with Bartimaeus, we read, was as Jesus was on his way to Jericho, on the road up to Jericho. In verse 35, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. So as our Lord approached Jericho, so he came face to face with Bartimaeus. He passed from there into Jericho and was passing through, and we meet that he met Zacchaeus. Verse 1 of chapter 19, as Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Both these men were there at the time appointed by God. God planned that they should meet the Lord Jesus Christ at that precise moment, at that precise time, on that precise day. God was going to meet with these two men that he had chosen way back in eternity. God makes appointments to meet with everyone he chooses to save. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ insisted that life and faith are not our work, but they are God's work. For he says, "The Son gives life to whom he pleases to give it." Yes, we talk about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we come because God has chosen us to come. Over the years, I have heard many evangelists preaching, and many of them very true to God's word. They will say, "Yes, whosoever comes to Jesus will in no wise be cast out." And some of them, you know, they stop there. They don't go any further with that text. Or they very faithfully proclaim what that says. But that text goes on to say this: "And all that the Father gives me will come to me." Men and women, young people, boys and girls, come to the Lord Jesus Christ because God has given them to him. He gives them to Christ. Therefore, they will respond to Christ when they meet him face to face. And you know, God chooses men and women, young people, even boys and girls from all walks of life. Just compare these two men in our passage this evening. Two men who were very, very different. I suppose you couldn't get two men who were so miles apart in appearance. One was well dressed, the other no doubt in very poor clothing, very sort of mundane clothing, might even been in rags because he didn't have very much money. But one was wealthy, the other was poor. Zacchaeus made a good living from being a chief tax collector, and he could afford to be dressed well and to live well. Whereas Bartimaeus, he was blind. He couldn't work for his living. He had no social security. He had no benefits whatsoever. And all he could live on was what people kindly gave to him as they passed by. And he would sit there on that road to Jericho as men and women travelled up to Jerusalem from the Jordan area. They would go up and they'd pass through Jericho and on through to Jerusalem. And yes, he would sit there by the roadside, and he would hope that people would give him just something. Something that would enable him to live another day. Zacchaeus, he had plenty and to spare. Their circumstances were very different, weren't they? One was sighted. He could go about his daily business. He could conduct his business affairs. He could look after his family. He could do all the things that a man could do. But the other was blind. He had to be led, or he had to fumble his way about. One lived in a fine house. The other, very likely, living with relatives or living in very poor accommodation. We might even classify it as a hovel. One was well fed. The other perhaps often went hungry if people didn't give to him. One had a job, and a very good job at that, even though he was despised by his fellow Jews. He earned a good income from it. The other had to beg. So different. But they had three things that were common to both. Both were Jews. Both were lost souls to God. Both were chosen by God way back in eternity, before the foundation of the world. God is no respecter of persons. He chooses people from all manner of life. And those he chooses, we read that he saves to the uttermost. When we were studying Hebrews and in chapter 7, we remind ourselves that the writer says, therefore he that is God is able to save completely those who come to him. God saves completely. God saves utterly. And he's no respecter of persons. He'll save somebody from the highest station in life to somebody in the lowest station. Somebody who is old to somebody who is very young. Yes, these two men were very different. But they were chosen men. Men chosen by God. Secondly, I want us to notice that both came to Jesus. Or they came in different ways. Bartimaeus, when he woke that morning, had no idea that he would receive his physical sight and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was blind. And of course, naturally, he wanted to see. But you see, to have his sight restored or to be given sight was to him only a dream. For in those days there was no cure for blindness, not even for partial blindness. Now, surgeons do marvelous things these days and can take people who can't see properly and restore their sight. But this man had no hope of a physical repair to his eyes. And when he got up, and when he was taken or found his way to, that's on the Jericho road, it was his daily routine. If he didn't go, he wouldn't be fed. He needed the charity of people in order to exist. He didn't realize when he got up that morning that he would receive his physical sight, that he would see, perhaps for the first time or again after many years. He had no idea that he'd become a follower and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus, when he woke that day, he had no idea that his day would be completely turned upside down, completely changed. There he was, a chief tax collector. Oh yes, hated by the people. As far as they were concerned, he was a traitor. As far as they were concerned, he was an outcast. They didn't want him in their synagogue. They turned him away from the temple. He was a traitor. He was working for the occupying forces. He was working for the Romans. He was taking from them and giving to the Romans. And he was taking over and above that which he should. He was a Quisling. He was a traitor. When he woke that morning, he had no idea. No idea that his life would be turned upside down. That he would be completely changed. That his life would be different from then onwards. He had no idea that he, like Bartimaeus, was going to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thirdly, I want us to note that both of these men were called. The world would say that Bartimaeus took his chance. His luck was in. Possibly he'd heard that this man Jesus of Nazareth was going about and was doing good and was healing people and saying many wonderful things. And perhaps he'd heard that, yes, this man Jesus was actually healing people who were blind and people who were lame and people who had many different diseases. Now was his chance. His luck was in, the world would say. It might never come again. But it was not by chance, was it? God had planned it. It was in God's providence. He would meet his Saviour at that moment and in that place. And that appointment had been made before the foundation of the world. God had given Bartimaeus a determination. You see, when he first heard that it was Jesus coming along, and he thought, perhaps this man Jesus can help me, he called out to him. And the people rebuked him. They say, keep quiet. Keep out of the way. Stay where you are. But Bartimaeus was determined. And he called out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. Dear friends, is that your ambition? Is that your goal? To see Jesus? Oh, we won't see him with our physical eyes while we're here upon earth. But we can see God with our spiritual eyes. We can see the Lord Jesus Christ as we learn about him, as we have fellowship with him, as we pray, as we read his word, as we grow in the Christian life. We want to see Jesus. Bartimaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to meet this man. You see, he'd heard what this man Jesus was doing. And some had said, you know, perhaps he's a prophet. Perhaps he's even one of the greatest prophets. And others had rumoured, well, perhaps he's the Messiah. And Bartimaeus thought, well, if he's the Messiah, he can do something for me. I've got to meet him. And here was his chance. Here was his God-given opportunity. And so he met Jesus. He was determined to. And God, I believe, gave him that determination. He didn't heed what the people were saying to him. He made sure that Jesus would hear him as Jesus approached. With all the noise of the crowd round him, Jesus heard the voice of this man. Zacchaeus. I believe in a way Zacchaeus naturally would be a curious man. It was his business to know what was going on. He had to keep his ears to the ground. You see, he was a tax collector. He had to know who was passing through, who was bringing goods through that particular area, and charge them the tax that the Romans had set upon it. He had to know who was living there in order to get from them the taxes that were due. He had to keep his ears to the ground and his eyes open, because he knew. He knew that there would be people who tried to evade paying their taxes, just as there is today. And he kept his ears to the ground. He kept his eyes open. And possibly he'd heard again, like Bartimaeus, about this man Jesus. They were talking about this man. And Zacchaeus wanted to know, who is he? Who is this man Jesus? What can I, in some way, have I got to tax him? Can I get money out of him? Some sort of say, well, he's a prophet. Well, perhaps it's good for me to know who he is. And we read that he was short of stature. Now, I know what that's like. When I preach at Ladyfield, I can't see over the top of the pulpit hardly. Fortunately, this one's a bit lower. I know what it's like to be short. But this man used his initiative. He ran. Now, that's an unusual thing for a Jewish man to do. It was below his dignity to run, but he put that aside, so that he might overcome his handicap of being short. And he ran, and he even put more dignity aside, because he climbed a tree. A tree that was there by the roadside, overhanging the road, that he could climb up and he could look over the heads of the crowd and he could see this man Jesus. Yes, he was a small man, but he had a God-given determination to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Lord Jesus Christ passed by and passed under that tree. And just imagine Zacchaeus' surprise. For this man Jesus looked up into the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. He knows my name. He knows who I am. Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay in your house today. I want to come to your house. I want to meet with you and I want to meet with your family. Jesus has a great love for lost men and women. Bartimaeus was lost and needed the Saviour. Zacchaeus was lost and needed the Saviour. For we read in verse 10, do we not? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house. The Lord, you know, wants to come to your house. First of all, to the house of your heart. He wants to make his dwelling within your heart. But he also wants to come into your home. I wonder what your home is like. What sort of home atmosphere is there? Is it a home that is dominated by your self-centeredness? Is it a home made miserable by your ill temper, your intolerance, your quarrelling nature? I hope and pray that it's not the home here where there's cursing and swearing. A home ruined by drink or by drugs. How would you feel if Christ was to say, I want to come into your home today? What will he see when he comes in? What books do you read? What newspapers will he find on the table? What television programs do you watch? Is there an open Bible there in your home? Or is it a Bible on the shelf that's only brought out on a Sunday? Has Christ come into your heart and made a difference in your heart? Has he come into your home and made a difference in your home? How do you regard him? Do you regard him as an occasional visitor? Or do you see him as head of the house? The Lord Jesus Christ called Zacchaeus. And he scrambled down that tree and he hurried home in order to prepare for the Lord Jesus to come to his house that day. And you know, Christ didn't just come into the home of Zacchaeus. He came into the heart of Zacchaeus as well. Our Lord called Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was brought to him. And he was healed physically and spiritually. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in your need as a sinner? Have you called out to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Has the Lord Jesus Christ said to you, come to me and I will heal you. I will remove your sin. I will make you pure and holy and clean once again. I will give you eternal life. If you'll just repent of your sin and turn and put your faith and your trust in me. Have you invited Jesus into your heart? Jesus, the Son of Almighty God. The Son of God who came into this world and lived that sinless life. And then took your sin and my sin and suffered and died as our substitute there upon the cross. He died in your place. He died in my place. We should have been there. We're the sinners. We're the ones who've gone our own way and done our own thing and rebelled against him. But the Lord Jesus Christ took that sin of ours and he paid its price upon the cross. He suffered and he died instead of us. He died as our substitute. And God, his Father, has said that those who repent of their sin and those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will have their sins forgiven and will receive a new life, an eternal life, a life that will go on into eternity with God, their Saviour. Have you done just that? Have you responded to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ? Bartimaeus responded. Zacchaeus responded. They didn't reject the call. And as a result, they became changed men. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He had pots of money. He had done well by worldly standards. All the world despised him, yes, for who he was and what he did. But he had a good lifestyle. But actually, he was a bankrupt sinner. In God's eyes, he was outside of God's kingdom. In God's eyes, God could have nothing to do with him as a sinner. He needed to receive God's gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of his sins. It cost God the price of his Son in order to save Zacchaeus. And that's exactly the same for you and I tonight. It cost God his Son that you might receive salvation in him. Zacchaeus no doubt confessed his sin, and he put things right in his life. He gave restitution to those that he had wronged. Bartimaeus responded to the call of Christ, and he too became a changed man. He was healed physically, he could see. And we read that he followed Christ in the way. He became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So glad he was to be able to see and to be saved. And he became a Christ man. Yes, that was popular with the people. We read that when the people saw it, they also praised God. What a witness that was. Zacchaeus' conversion wasn't quite so popular, apart from those who he paid back money that he had taken from falsely. They were very worried that Christ had invited this sinner to invite him into his home. But you see, Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Dear friends, I want you to look at your hearts tonight. I want you to say, is the Jesus Christ living there within my heart? Am I saved from my sins? Am I heading for eternal life, glory with God my Saviour? Or am I still tied to the world? Oh, I live a respectable life. I come to the church Sunday by Sunday. Yes, I don't drink, I don't swear, I don't do all manner of things that the world does. I'm a very, very respectable person. But does Christ dwell in your heart? Have you repented of your sin and accept him as your Saviour and put your trust in him? Committed your life to him, following him day by day? Look at your heart, look at your life, and ask yourself that question. Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour and as my Lord? These two men were wonderfully changed. They started a brand new life when they met with the Lord Jesus Christ. You too can start a brand new life if you haven't yet met and accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And way back there, before the foundation of the world, God chose this man and that woman, that young person, that boy, that girl, to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be born again into his wonderful family. We respond because God's Holy Spirit works within our lives, works within our hearts, prompts us to respond to the call of Jesus. Dear friends, don't put it off. If God is calling you tonight, if Jesus is saying, come to me, repent of your sin, turn in faith and trust me, then do it. Don't put it off. We do not know what tomorrow has in store for us. Bartimaeus, in worldly terms, took his chance. Zacchaeus was curious. Both men met with God. May each one of us here tonight have met with the Lord Jesus Christ and found him as Saviour and Lord.